Yeah, I bought a four-wheel drive to go to Jerusalem, and then they told me there was a pond in the way. Somebody should have told me. Hey, we're in we're finishing up the Moses adventures here pretty close, and we're in Shemot, Shelosheim v'Arba, Exodus 34. And then when there's a couple Moses adventures that we'll get to in Numbers, but then we'll be probably going to Yahushua or something else. I'm not sure where we'll go, okay? But we left off with The Shining. Not the movie that was filmed in Estes, but the real Shining is, which I've never seen that movie, but the real Shining happened on Mount Sinai. And the real Shining got on a man called Moshe. And so we are going to look at the radiant face of Moses today. Now, Moses did not realize his face was shining when he came down from the mountain. And in Hebrew, it says the skin of his face. So that's cool, right? Most people have skin on their face. But in Hebrew, they want to say the skin of the face was luminous or shining. And in the Jewish Bible, it says rays of light were coming out of his face. You got to love that movie. I mean, the first nightlight. I mean, here we go. So now this is the only time in the Bible where the glory of God got on somebody except Yeshua on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so it's kind of a special thing. Now, when he came down from the mountain, everybody was afraid of him. If you read the text here, everybody was afraid of him, and he was not aware that his face was shining. And so they ran from him, but Moshe calls out to them to come close. And he gave them the Torah from Sinai. And then he put a veil over his face. And then he'd take off the veil whenever he went into the presence of God, and the Israelites would see the shining again when he would come out and tell Israel what Hashem has told him. And then he would veil up again. You ever heard that term? Veil up! Your glory's showing, man. And that's the end of the chapter. No. But isn't this an amazing story? Totally, completely supernatural. This whole thing is supernatural. We don't know what exactly Moshe saw on the mountain. He was up there another 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water. No food, no water. And then he comes down. So going without food and water for 40 days is quite a miracle. Anybody done that? No. But having rays of light coming out of your face, that's Pella, over the top wonder, our God. And in these last days, I hope the Pella comes more than ever, right? And then we can be talking about the Israel update. It won't be about guy jogging. It'll be about the glory of God was on this and on this and on this, and there was fire come down from heaven. Did. That's the news coming up in the Israel update. Okay, but rays of light coming out of your face, I love it. And I've had that happen to me, but I don't talk about it much, but I don't want to carry on about it, you know. We wear keepers because it represents humility. But first, in this text, we have a rerun. And I love reruns, and the Bible is full of reruns. They're called patterns, types. When the glory first came on the mountain, Israel said, "You go into that glory. We ain't going because we ain't going up there. We'll die. We're afraid to go up there. We will stay at a distance. You go and then tell us what Hashem said." Isn't that how it starts out? "We'll stay at a distance because they were afraid." Now we have the same thing. Now the glory is not just staying on top of the mountain. It's coming down the mountain to the people afraid. "Stand back." And so what does Moshe do? He has to call him. Hello, come on, come on. It's me. It's me. It's okay. It's safe. Come near to me. And then he gave them the Bible. This is exactly what happens with Yeshua. See, the sinful man has this kind of fear about the glory of God. Sinful man does, because he's sinful. And the glory is intense. But we overcome this fear, the same fear, we overcome this same fear by a man also. Because Yeshua comes, and we may be afraid, but he says what? Come close. Moshe, we see all through Shemot, is a type of Messiah. Moshe has to say, I got God on me. Come close anyway. It's okay. Yeshua says, I am God. Come close. And it's to come close. You got to love our God, because he is fearful. But in that glory, he says, come here. Come here. It's the Yom Kippur message. Now, so here we have them overcoming the fear, and they come near, and this is the first successful giving of the Torah to Israel. The earlier attempt failed, and now we have a successful giving of it, the word, the law, the Torah, to Israel. And so this is the text here. But speaking of Yeshua, we have to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is going to talk about Moses' face in the Brit Hadashah. And so don't stone me on this matter. I'm just going to read the verses, and you all believe the Brit Hadashah is inspired word of God? The New Covenant is the inspired word of God, so then it's okay if we read some of it? Okay. Whether you like what it says, it's still okay? Yes? Okay. All right. Where am I? Oh, next page. Okay, in Exodus, in the story, it never says why Moses wore the veil. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I said 2 Corinthians because that's what Forrest Gump said, Donald Trump said, which revealed to the whole world that he doesn't know how to read the Bible. Even the Democrats were going, oh, gosh. It's 2 Corinthians, right, and 2 Corinthians. But here Shaul teaches, because kavod on Moses' face, the why he wore a veil is because the glory was fading. And that's what is mentioned here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, Paul teaches from here a contrast between the Moses covenant of Sinai that Moses is giving in Exodus 34 to Israel. And he makes a contrast with that covenant with the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah, right? And so I just want to hit on this, and then we'll move on from here, and you'll get over your anger. And you know how I teach from the word concerning the Moses covenant and the new covenant, and you've heard me do this before. But it's extremely important theology. Now, what does Paul say about it, about Moses' face and the glory and the two covenants and the Holy Spirit, the contrast? In verse 3, the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the human heart. We're talking about a contrast between covenants. Now, the Bible explains itself through covenants. There's only two foundations of the Bible, and one is the holy days, and one is the covenants. And these two foundations explain the whole entire Bible. And if you try to explain the Bible outside of the use of covenants or the holy days, you will end up in fog theology. You won't know if you're up, down, or afoot, or on horseback. Okay? In verse 6, ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. Just a contrast here. I'm just reading the verse. I didn't say it. Verse 7, now the teaching on Moses and the glory from Exodus 34 is a ministry of death engraved in stone came with glory. The ministry of death engraved in stone came with kavod, glory. And this is the glory that's on Moses' face and then was on Sinai. So Israel couldn't look at Moses' face because of the glory, fading though it was. So this is the fading word again. The ministry of the Spirit is even more glorious. And then in verse 9, the ministry that condemns man is glorious. If the ministry that condemns man is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? So it's just contrasting. He's just comparing the two, right? And in verse 10, what was glorious now has no glory when compared to the glory that surpasses it. What was fading came with glory. How much more glorious is the surpassing glory, the glory that remains? Okay, so he's just talking about the two covenants here. And then in verse 12 and 13, we are bold, not like Moshe, who put a veil over his face while the glory was fading. And then in verse 14 and 15, their minds were hardened, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because it is only removed by Mashiach. Even to this day, the veil covers their hearts. In verse 16, but when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And then he asks the question, so who is the Lord? Now the Lord is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit. Can anybody say one God here? Not three, thank you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is something else. What is this? Oh, freedom. Freedom! I love freedom. It makes me happy. Every year in the 4th of July parade, I'm just shouting freedom from one end to the next. Freedom! And then I'll go, freedom makes me happy. In verse 18, our faces are not veiled. We're not veil up. That's not us. We are reflecting the Lord's glory, being transformed into his image with increasing glory, not diminishing glory, but increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Lord, who is the Spirit. So up above, it's Messiah, then it's Lord, then it's Spirit, and it's all the same person. There's only one throne in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So these are the contrasts, one covenant being compared to a different covenant. So what it is tablets of stone, Spirit of living God, the letter, the Spirit, death, life, ministry of death, ministry of life by the Spirit, fading glory, increasing glory, no glory, surpassing glory, veiled, bold, hardened minds, unveiled. And then the conclusion is the Lord is the Spirit, and the Spirit gives freedom, and we are transformed, reflecting the increasing glory from the Lord, the Spirit. Quite a comparison. Okay? So you know how I teach the Torah observant thing. Just use the Lord who is the Spirit who gives you freedom. So this is the deal. Since most of you are used to me and you have gotten over your anger at me, if you're Torah observant, but... just include the Holy Spirit in your halakha, and everything will be fine. And this is the whole point of the fourth and final feast that Yeshua fulfilled with his first coming, is the giving of the Holy Spirit, which those that are led by the Spirit are not under the law. So, but you're under the Spirit of Messiah, and you're under the law of the Spirit. And so this is tough law. The real tough law is to hear God, be led by the Spirit. And this requires intimacy. You have to do all the spiritual disciplines to maintain a love relationship and closeness to the Lord so you're able to hear his voice and be led by the Spirit. And this is New Covenant Halakha or Torah observance. Okay? And so if the Lord is leading you to wear tzitzit, then by golly, you better be wearing them. okay? Right? But don't tell me I have to, because you're not the Holy Spirit to me. See how easy this is? And so then you can just be free to be led by the Spirit. And so if the Lord is telling you not to work on Shabbat or to walk to the meeting and not to drive and to not turn on your lights during Shabbat, to pre-tear your toilet paper on before Shabbat starts, if the Lord is leading you to do these things, then you need to do it. And nobody better tell you not to. See? See, the Holy Spirit is the boss in the Brit Hadasha. And he's leading me to tell you that you must give so much more money. No. You can't be flaky about it. All right. The glory is in the Spirit, not in the stone tablets today. This is the deal. And the glory is in the ministry of the Spirit, not in the ministry that brought death. So then he has made, in this comparison, there's two different ministries. And he has made us, let me tell you what you are. You are a minister. You're all ministers. In the body of Messiah, we're all ministers. But you are ministers of the new covenant. And not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. So I am a minister of the Brit Hadasha, the new covenant. Now, that's pretty basic, right? I had a revelation studying this, and I've been having fun with it. I've been having so much fun with this. You want to hear what I did? You want to hear what I did? Calm down. All the covenants of the Bible, and if you can start with the Adam's covenant, and then there's Noah. Noah has a covenant, and then Avraham has a covenant, which becomes the Yitzhak covenant and the Yaakov covenant. And then you have, David has a covenant too, right? And what about Pinchas? Pinchas, that's the one we really like, right? Zealous for the honor of the Lord. So anyway, all these covenants, they're named after people, right? And so I'm studying this week and last week, and I go, we come to this bestest covenant, according to Hebrews. It's new and better 15 times. And it's just new. And I thought, I'm going to change the name of this covenant. Now, you're used to me changing your name. I've changed you guys' names many times. I've changed your name to Cornelius and Naaman and Pinchas and all these guys, right? And because you want to be modeled after these people. But I have changed this new covenant to the Jesus covenant. That's who saved me. The Yeshua covenant. How about the salvation covenant? If you want to speak English. The salvation covenant, the Yeshua covenant, the Jesus covenant, Jesus covenant, however you say covenant in Espanol. And what is it? Bas? Bakto. Jesus Bakto. So anyway, I don't know, what do you think? So I'm thinking, I get up in the morning, I go, I'm a minister today of the Jesus covenant. I am minister of the covenant of salvation. Ooh, I am a minister of the Yeshua covenant. Because that's who initiated it, right? If all the rest of them, Noah's covenant's named Noah. The Davidic covenant, who is that named? Oh, who's that named after? David, right? And so, what is your that new covenant saved you, you know? And who initiated it? See? So have you ever heard anybody call it the Jesus covenant? That would make a good book. The Jesus covenant. And we could put Yeshua covenant for us, you know. I've got this banner here. I just covered all my bases on that one. Yeshua. In English, you put salvation on there, but it's such a long word, it didn't fit on the banner. Okay, I better look at my time here, since I don't have a clock because the elders stole it. elders, I tell you. Okay. But anyway, that was just my fun thing, so I've been having fun. I told Kavika, hey, I changed the name of the New Covenant, because he's a New Covenant fanatic, right? And I go, hey, I changed the name of it. And he goes, you can't do that. I go, it's the Jesus Covenant. He goes, I love it, I love it. You know how he is. All right. But anyway, it's his covenant, and so I'm just going to name it after him. Give him the glory. We're talking about glory here. But isn't that fun about talking about one God in this whole thing? How in 2 Corinthians 3 we have that all come together here. And so now in our context now, we can read the former covenant, but we read it with an unveiled face. We can see into the Torah, Nevim, and the Ketuvim, the Tanakh. We can see Yeshua now that we have unveiled faces. We read that. We see Yeshua in all of it. We do not have the veil that is blocking our hearts from understanding and receiving Messiah, right? And all the pictures of him, including like the tabernacle, is all about Yeshua, as it is in my book out there. But we have unveiled faces. And so when we read the Torah, we have an unveiled face, and then we're reflecting the glory of God. And in this glory by the Spirit, it is the Spirit of the living God that transforms you. And so we are being transformed into his image from glory, kavod, to kavod, glory to glory. But it's a Holy Spirit issue. It is the Spirit of the living God, which is the Lord in the text, right? Okay, so we'll finish up here because I promised you I would tell you about the origin of the paintings in Europe of Jews having horns. Because it originates here. So let's talk about Moses and Jews having horns coming out of their foreheads. This has got to be the most ignorant, idiotic example of anti-Semitism in the history of the world. It is so disgustingly bad, I don't even want to talk about it. But it's true, and so you may have somebody mention it to you someday, but in Europe there are still many of these ancient artworks of Moses, and he has horns coming out of his head like a devil. So, and I first heard about this when Yonatan Sattel, we were playing his music a little bit, the Shabbat thing, today, and he went to Europe to do concerts, and they asked him in these places that he went, they asked him if and they're looking at him, and they want to know if you can see where your horns used to be. As if you don't have them anymore, you had them removed. Do they remove them when you're born or something, you know, like cattle? They were asking Yonatan, and he's telling me this story, and I didn't believe him, but it's true, right? Because I've read about it since then. And so how would you like to have somebody come up and look at you? What, were you something wrong with my hair? Where's your horns at? Yeah, see, where's the scars where they took your horns off? I mean, talk about medieval idiocy. What is it called medieval? So it's insane. It starts with this word right here. The word for the radiant, or the word for the shining, or the word for the luminescence here in the Hebrew. The rays of light coming out of Moses' face. The glory of God was on him. The word is Karen, which means to shine. It's 7160. Now, number 7161 is Karen with ease. Karen and Karen. And it's almost the same word. And the one with ease means horns, as on animals. They're spelled the same. The vowels are just different. So this is the origin of this situation. The church in the Middle Ages was so medieval evil, full of hatred to the Jews, that they went with the translation of animal horns instead of shining. Why would they do that? To make the Jew look like a devil. To make the Jews devils. This artwork is still there today. In a lot of places, there's old majestic artwork, you know, and Moses will be there with horns. So Jews have horns, not glory. That's what they wanted to say. So the evil intent is proven. Now see, this is a deal. This is done by church Christian people that did this artwork and taught this thing. It's done by church people, anti-Semitic church people. Now, the reason I'm saying this is anti-Semitic is because they had 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about the glory and the radiance fading though it was. So all you have to do is look at the Brit Hadashah, the Greek, and what is the shining word in the Greek? And it is doxa. And doxa means shining glory. It does never, ever mean animal horns. So they chose to ignore the New Testament writing talking about Moses and the shining on his face. Instead, they want to just go back to the Tanakh and translate it wrong to make the Jew be a devil. Is that something? So that is anti-Semitism in the church, which we still have it. Okay, so now you know the rest of the story. Goodness gracious. All right, so now Jews have never had horns. Okay? I don't think the devil even has horns. It's just a myth, right? So we can finish there. After Israel came out of Egypt, the glory came to the mountain. And then the glory came to Moses' face. And the book of Exodus ends with this glory coming to the Mishkan. After the tabernacle was finished being built, the glory then came to the tabernacle over the Holy of Holies, the Kadosh Kadoshim, and there was the pillar of fire and the glory of God. And that is how the book of Exodus ends. The glory came to the Mishkan. So it starts with Sinai, and then it goes to Moses, and then it goes to the tabernacle. And that is the glory of God. And so we will pick this up with Vayikra. What does Shemot mean? Shemot is names. These are the names of the Israelites that came out of Egypt. So now we can go to Vayikra, which in Hebrew, the Lord called. It's the first phrase of the book is what you get the name of the book from. And so Vayikra means the Lord called, and it says he called to Moses. And so we have the book of Leviticus is Vayikra. And so we'll pick that up next week, and then we'll be done with Moses pretty fast, right? Just a couple lessons from what happened in the wilderness there before Joshua and Caleb are raised up to go into the promised land. And so today we are looking for Joshua and Caleb to come again. I told somebody in a story this week, we need Joshua and Caleb, because they ask, do you like Bibi? And I go, we need Joshua and Caleb. Well, I kind of like Bibi and all, and he's a good statesman. But we need Joshua and Caleb. I mean, we're getting nowhere fast. The whole eschatology, the whole plan of God is on hold because nothing's happening with Israel. Nothing's happening with the temple. We need Joshua and Caleb to come now. You got it? Ask me about Bibi. You guys get me so excited. Please calm down. So keep praying for the rebuilding of the temple so the plan of God can start up again. Right now, the battery is dead. We need a jumper cable and a fresh battery, right? Make some sparks, some fire, and get this plan of God cranked up and moving again. Yes, thank you, Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen. Yavarecha ka Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'ir Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yiso Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim l'ka shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar HaShalom. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Shabbat shalom. And thanks for the Jesus covenant.